What is going on, everybody? Unfortunately, the Bills lost this week, 2-1. Got my guy James Mallory with me. Got my homegirl Sarah Larson. Everybody say hello.
What's up?
What up, everybody?
As Sarah said before the show, the sky's not falling. The Bills lost one game. It's just one game. We'll talk about it when we come right back. What is going on, everybody? Not exactly the result we wanted to do this show with, but a result nonetheless, so we're here to talk about it. The Bills lost an incredibly, I just say, adverse game versus the division rival, the Miami Dolphins, who had not beaten us in the last seven attempts. But at some point, somebody has to win a game. They got us this time. We're going to break it all down. So before we get started, a couple of news and notes from the day about the Buffalo Bills. Offensive lineman Tommy Doyle, unfortunately, placed on injury reserve with a torn ACL. Christian Benford, who went out during that game, rookie cornerback Christian Benford, who went out during that game versus Miami Dolphins, metacarpal fracture in his hand, probably surgery, maybe short-term IR, possibly just IR in general, or no IR at all. We'll see what happens. Same injury as Dawson Knox had, according to Bang Up Bills, my guy over there. The Bills signed a lineman today. I forgot his name. Totally forgot his name, honestly.
Justin Murray.
Okay, got it. Thank you, Sarah. Appreciate you. Xavier Rhodes, former Pro Bowl cornerback Xavier Rhodes, was in for a visit today. And I'm trying to think. I don't know if I missed anything. I think I missed anything for news notes, Sarah.
Kamara has the high ankle.
Yep. Yeah. He's week to week.
Yeah, they even said that may be an IR situation.
Yeah, I mean, high ankle, they usually say 3 to 4 weeks at least.
Yeah, and God knows we need every roster spot we can get on this team right now as a banged up, but we are, especially in that secondary. So tonight we got a good show for you lined up. We're going to recap this game a little bit. We're going to talk about the void of Micah Hyde and how can we properly fill that, if it's even if it's a void that we can even fill. So we'll go through those strategies. We're also going to talk about Greg Rousseau and his play through three games. I think that we can all definitively agree there's a different level of Greg Rousseau so far this year. So we're going to break that down. And then obviously we have the reaction to the video that went viral this week of our offensive coordinator, Ken Dorsey, who absolutely went ballistic and lost it at to that Miami loss. But we actually got a reaction from Josh Allen today from Kyle Brandt's basement. So I think that's going to be interesting. We'll play that. So guys, going back to this game, 21-19 loss to the Miami Dolphins. Obviously, we know that the Bills sideline, and I'm not making any excuses, okay, but we're going to talk about everything. The Bills sideline was 120 degrees. We saw people like Stephon Diggs, Dawson Knox, Isaiah McKenzie cramping up all game. We lost Benford. We lost Ryan Bates to a concussion. We lost Spencer Brown to almost heat exhaustion. I mean, what happened with this? This is crazy. James, I'm coming to you first.
The Heat is undefeated. That's what it is. And then it's like, it's one of them things, man, where it's just like stuff kind of rolls downhill. And people talk about where they got to be in better shape. Fools. And that Heat is no preparing for that. Like cramping and all of that. I mean, they're elite athletes. You don't think they hydrated all week? Stephon Diggs talk about having IVs in both arms to stop the cramping. I mean, it was just one of those things where it just wasn't our day. And I wasn't even mad. I'm cool with it. We lost only by 2 points in that type of situation. If I'm a Dolphins fan, if I'm a Dolphins coach, anybody in the front office, I'm panic mode right now. If you can't beat a team in those adverse situations, like beat them. I mean, we had two or three chances to seal the game, right? If you barely win those situations, I'm a little worried. I'm evaluating that roster. I'm seeing what I can tweak and do to kind of help give myself a chance if I'm the Dolphins, man, because that will worry me. We only win by 2 points in that type of situation. That's not good.
No. Sarah, what you got?
So I was there and I was on the Bills sideline. So yeah. And I went last year. Last year it was hot. And I know I even posted how hot it was. But it rained and there was cloud cover. This year there was none of that. There was literally not a cloud in the sky. And it was hot. And I remember I actually posted right after. It was 114 degrees in my car when I got back to it an hour after the game. Even like sitting there waiting for traffic, it was still 98 when I was when I was pulling off, you know, when the traffic cleared. The heat index was crazy and the humidity was high. There was nothing to protect the guys on our sideline. So on the other sideline, they have all the shade. On ours, they don't. And I, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, well, you know, you're from New York, blah, blah, blah. I live down here. So I go to the Hurricane games. I know the difference between the different sidelines. It is a big difference in an afternoon game, a very big difference. So I have no doubt that those guys were, you know, were crushed. I mean, it was brutal. It was very brutal. And I drank a half a gallon of water, Gatorade, two Pedialytes, and I was still like out of it. Like I slept all day Monday. And I'm not even on the field. So it was ridiculous. So I can imagine what they went through. But, you know, to James, you know, point, we lost by 2 points and we were down, what, 5 starters on defense. Our offense took a hit. We were rotating the offensive line like crazy. You know, Diggs went out several times. Yeah. And if it wasn't for a couple of stupid errors, you know, a dropped interception, a dropped touchdown, you know, a missed field goal, a weird play at the end of the half. I mean, there was so many times that we could have sealed this game. I am not worried at all. And that's why I'm so tired of everyone's acting like the sky is falling. The sky is falling. It is not falling. We almost beat pretty much a healthy Dolphins team with our backups. So, and we held, I mean, Tyreek Hill to like nothing. I think he had 2 catches, maybe. I think it was. So, you know, Waddle did go off a little bit, but, you know, we had a depleted secondary and we still, you know, when you look at the stats, it's ridiculous how much, and I posted it earlier, how much the Bills outgained the Dolphins in every single area. It was just, they should be embarrassed almost, to be honest with you. Yeah, they pulled off the win, but it is what it is. Let them have their little victory moment.
You know, and I do want to talk about that victory moment, right? So I know I saw a lot of Bills fans posting that they were annoyed by how the Dolphins fans were treated as like this was their Super Bowl. And I just want to say this, right? And I want to give the Dolphins credit. They won a tough football game. And they had to play the same condition we played. And I admit the fact that their team is nowhere near as deep as this Buffalo Bills team, to both of you guys' points, that the Bills almost beat them with a bunch of backups playing, okay? So, yes, there's still work to be done. But hats off to them. Kudos for getting a win. You can only play guess who's across from you. But you know what? I'm going to give the fans credit for the way they celebrated. Because at the end of the day, I take myself back to a time period when Ryan Fitzpatrick was playing quarterback for the Buffalo Bills. And here you go. We beat the New England Patriots. And it was jubilation, right? We have to put ourselves in the shoes of the Miami Dolphins fans in this situation. Josh Allen has been their father for the past 3 years, okay? He's whooped on them every chance he got. They'll take a W however they can get it. So, like I said, hats off to them. Kudos. You got your W. We will see you in December. Yes. And I can guarantee you it will not be 120 degrees on the sidelines. So, But back to the game. You know, obviously, I think that there was a lot of mental mistakes in this game. A lot of, you know, small, minuscule mistakes that became really big. Like you said, the Milano pick 6, the drop, the bad snap before the half as far as the not downing the ball that cost us 3 points. The Tyler Bass field goal, which I still think was tipped because I think I saw in the replay, he looked at Sam Martin and like, what happened as Martin didn't make this symbol saying that the ball got tipped, which if you look at the rotation, it probably did. A lot of mistakes. Josh Allen throw to Isaiah McKenzie on 4th down with 1:46 left. That would have been an easy touchdown. We can admit and say that, hey, a lot of this was probably due to this heat. Yeah. Uncharacteristic mistakes. Now, James, I was asking you before, have you ever played in a game like that? I think we were talking about this earlier in the week.
Yeah. Yeah, I played in some very hot games. I don't know if as hot as that. Because what was it on the field? 120 maybe?
120 on the sideline.
Yeah, I think they said 119 at one point. I didn't, 119, 120. That's crazy.
I played in above 100, and it was real. It was real. And like, when you breathe in, it's hot. Like, you breathe, and it just, like, burns up your nose, and it's, like, it's just very miserable. It's rough. It's something you really can't put into words, especially when you're out there competing, and it's like you're out of breath. And then once you start cramping, it's a wrap. Like, it ain't going to go away. You may be able to, all right, cool, I'm good for right now. And then once you keep cramping, it's no good. So it's very difficult and very challenging to play in that, especially that type of heat. Like, that's unheard of. It's very rare.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, a lot of uncharacteristic mistakes, but still a game that, in my opinion, the Bills should win this game. Like I said, if Milano picks that ball off, this game is over right there, because there's no way. And I'm gonna give my hats off to the Tua Tagovailoa, right? That's the best performance we see him have against the Buffalo Bills defense. Period. Mm-hmm. Every other game, I mean, I think he's been knocked out of a game. Every game has been marred by interceptions and fumbles, mm-hmm. and all things as such. He didn't do anything for Miami to win this game necessarily. He did make the great throw to Waddle, which, it was a great breakdown by Brian Baldinger, if you want to see how they made that play happen. He made the throws when he needed to make it. And that's all you can ask for him against, as I'm going to call it, the best defense in football. Even without Jordan Poyer and Mike Hyde, they still showed that. Yeah, he's not Josh Allen. Okay? He's not Joe Burrow. He's not Justin Herbert. But he's solid. And I'll give him credit for that. One of the things that I really wanted to see the Bills do in this game, though, is I thought we were going to be able to run the ball more effectively than we did. And maybe we can chuck this up to the Heat, too. But so far, I was kind of disappointed with the run game. Outside of the one big carry that I think Zach had, the 43-yarder, it was much of nothing again. Yeah. I like that we got James Cook mixed into the mix, but James will come to you first. Running game is, that's your domain. So what you think of the Bills running game? What could we do differently? And what are you seeing from this running game through three games?
It don't concern me because we threw for 400. Now, mm-hmm. it'd be different if we threw for 275 in the run game, couldn't get really going. When you dice them up for 400, I mean, you know what I mean? If the running game would have been going too, we had 600 yards on the day. Like, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, right. If that's what the defense is giving you, obviously, there are opportunities there in the pass game, so that really don't concern me. But I like the run game. We have right now, I think it's good enough for us to win. I think Cook could get better as the year go on.
Yeah.
There's still some concerns there for me with Zach Moss. And I think Devin Singletary is so far, like, better than all other running backs. It's actually not – I think it's an insult to even compare him to the other running backs right now, to be honest. If you're going to go rep count, I'm thinking he gets 75 and then the other 25, you figure it out. He's just been that much better running the ball and been that effective. I mean, if you take Zach Moss one long carry away, and I like him. If you take his one long carry away, it's not looking very good. I mean, Devin Singletary, you know, he runs the ball hard. He has really good balance. You know, he never, ever, ever really, you know, goes down the first hit. He's always falling forward. So I think right now he's by far the best running back on the team, and I think we need to roll with him. It's very frustrating for me sometimes when I watch Zach Moss because he's so talented. And me as a running back, and as I'm looking, I'm like, yo, like, I understand what you got to set up and what you got to do. Mm-hmm. And it can be frustrating. Not that I think he's going to be productive for us this year. Don't get me wrong. But I think Devin Singletary is running the ball that good.
Well, like I said, we go back to, we've been saying the last couple of years, if you give Devin Singletary the carries that you give some of these other backs, then Devin Singletary would have previously already been a 1,200 to 1,300-yard running back. But fortunately for us, we have an elite quarterback back there that he's going to take away from the running game because we're going to keep the ball in his hands probably 75% of the time. Sarah, I'm going to come to you about your thoughts on the running game. But one last tidbit on there, James talking about the 70%. There's only five running backs in the NFL right now who have accounted for 70% of the running back snap counts. Devin Singletary is number 3 on that list behind Saquon Barkley and Nick Chubb. So just saying that, like, tidbit about the 70%.
Yeah, I think we had like 115 yards rushing or something like that. So it looked like the numbers were good. But unfortunately, you know, 45 or whatever it was coming from that one play actually takes you down quite a bit. So it, you know, looked a lot better than it was. But I think during the game, I made the comment that we were doing a lot of those short, you know, dump offs, which is kind of what we have Cook, you know, we brought Cook on to do. We wanted to have him coming out the backfield and catching the short passes. So I think that, you know, that's the goal now with, you know, with having Josh do those little dump off passes, and it worked. So I think it's going to be a lot of that again this week. I think we're going to have to run the ball, and we're going to have to do those little short passes because it's supposed to be like 80% chance rain up in Baltimore. So I think we'll have to get that going, and hopefully, you know, Singletary can prove. You know, I've always been, you know, give it to both, you know, Singletary and Moss, see who goes off, and then feed them the rest of the game. But I'm not sure that that's working. So I think that we should kind of just stick with Singletary and keep on, you know, keep it going.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, at this point, I think that we all know, and I think that we've noticed that Devin Singletary is the guy when it comes to running back in this offense. But I'm also a proponent of definitely making sure you mix other backs in, because when you get to that playoff run towards the end of the season and those end games, we saw how fresh Devin Singletary was at the end of last season. And over the span of that games after we lost to the Bucs and went to 7-6, over that next span of three games, our running game was key. And particularly, not just key, he was a key player. So I want to make sure that we keep him at that level of freshness of going into the postseason, end of the season run. And like I said, don't get me wrong, the sky's not falling. I think there's going to be a lot of games where Singletary's going to be fresh, Moss going to be fresh, Cook going to be fresh. That whole starting lineup is going to be fresh because they're going to blow a lot of teams out this season, where you're going to start seeing these snap counts all around 50 and 40%. So, but I guess my thoughts on running games, yeah, outside of that big run from Zach, there was really nothing. And obviously, as my man Mud Dog says in the chat, you probably can attribute that to a big part of that to Mitch Morse not being out there. And then the second part of that, Spencer Brown, who we know Spencer Brown is a key cog in the running game. And probably the third part of it is honestly just heat exhaustion.
Well, Bates, don't forget Bates left too.
Yeah.
Yeah, with the concussion.
Yeah.
With the concussion. I mean, obviously with the heat, we could be honest. You're trying to push a 300-pound man that's coming at you, and you're already tired, and you're hot.
Brown did not look good, though. So Brown looked like he was just exhausted every single play. Yeah. It was like we were screaming, get him out of there. Like, he just did not look good. So I was finally happy when they, you know, took him out of the game.
Did he come out right after the strip sack?
I don't remember exactly.
I know he came out right after. I know he gave up a sack, and then he came out. And it's just like, he didn't even get a hand on Agba. And that's how tired he was.
Every single snap, he was getting beat. It was terrible.
And you know, think about it. When you talk about that, he didn't have a training camp. He was on the shelf for most of training camp, mini camp. So out of the five offensive linemen, he's probably the least conditioned to go into those conditions of that field.
Right.
You add those two in, and then we see why heat illness caught up to him. But either way, you know, like I said, no excuses. I want to switch over to the defensive side of the ball here. Now, obviously, we're out Micah Hyde, and we'll be out with him this entire season. We're out Jordan Poyer, which came as a little bit of a surprise to me when we heard that on Saturday night. You know, no Ed Oliver this game. Christian Benford goes out. Obviously, no Dane Jackson, and luckily, it seems that we'll get Dane Jackson back after that scary neck injury that he had versus the Tennessee Titans. It's rough, man. It's rough. We went from the very best secondary NFL in week one and to getting an all-pro and Tre'Davious White back to losing both safeties, then losing the rookie cornerback that's playing better than anybody expected, to losing Dane Jackson in week two, to having to bring Ingram off the practice squad and him play a starting role in the second half of a football game. How concerning is that going moving forward, James? And obviously we have people like Xavier Rhodes in. How concerning is it to you? What do you think about Kyir Elam's play necessarily from that game? Because like Sarah pointed to earlier, Tyreek Hill, 2 catches, 33 yards in this game. And do we got to bring somebody in, a veteran potentially, to kind of help rectify the situation?
I'm not really not too concerned about it, to be honest with you. Crazy as it may sound, because outside of Hyde, these are all things that we can be able to recover from, right? Hand injury for Benford. I think he's going to be a stud in this league, going to play for a very long time. He's going to get paid a lot of money to play football. Kyir Elam, obviously he's talented. Dane Jackson, I mean, I think it's encouraging they didn't put him on IR. So it could be a situation where it's more precautionary. And just, you know, with the neck, you really want to be careful with that. That's not something you want to fool around with. And I hope we sign Xavier Rhodes. I like the way he plays. I think he'll really fit in with our scheme. That veteran type, it's always good to have somebody like that. Mm-hmm. And you know he's hungry to win and maybe get a Super Bowl. So that's somebody you really want to bring in and help out the room. So I think we are, and this will help us in the long term, because now these young guys are forced to play, right? So when we are healthy, it's nothing for Benford to come in. It's nothing for Elam to ball out, because in all likelihood, this is going to be Dane Jackson and Tre'Davious White, let's just say week 12, right? That's your starting corners right there. And then you got two, what I could say is quality NFL starters in Benford and Elam backing them up. So, and then you still got to just say we do sign Xavier Rhodes, you got him. That's encouraging, man. So I kind of think about that. I don't think about the right now. I think about what's happening. It's a blessing in disguise that this we getting this out the way early. Because if this was week 12 or 13, right, we'd be in panic mode. We'd be in OS mode if, you know, we said, oh, now we got to start two rookies. And, oh, Micah Hyde is out. It's a whole different situation. Now we can make adjustments and see what we really got. We all right.
Kind of went through it last year when we had Dane Jackson come in. And you know what? At the end of the day, these guys are getting those important reps. So if we do have to rely on them later in the season, it's your season. Sarah, secondary woes.
Yeah, I think that we're a little bit better off at corner. I think that, you know, 1 or 2 weeks we're going to be, you know, struggling a little bit, but then Trey's going to come back. I wouldn't mind bringing in Rhodes for the time being, but, you know, it's whether or not he would come in knowing that in a couple weeks he might not have a job again. So, you know, that would be kind of a decision for him. Possibly bring him into the practice squad, and then we can just elevate him, you know, kind of like for the couple of weeks, and then, you know, see how it works. But my biggest concern is safety position. I mean, you're not going to replace Hyde. And, you know, even though we have Hamlin and Jaquan Johnson, and they've been doing really well. And I'm a huge JJ fan, obviously from the U. But he, I knew you were gonna laugh at that one. I'm a huge fan, and I think that they can hold their own, but, you know, without knowing whether or not Poyer is gonna be full health too, like, we don't have enough people if one of them goes down. So I was actually a little bit more surprised that we had corners come in. I know that at one point they were talking about Benford and kind of cross training him over as, you know, safety as well, but now he's injured. So, yeah, we're going to need to figure out something, especially at that position.
All right. So after watching that game, obviously the cornerback position, I really wasn't worried about going into it until Benford got hurt, because I do realize moving forward, you even have Cam Lewis on this team, mm-hmm. who has some experience. Okay, it seems like we're going to get Dane back to your point. We'll probably get Trey White back. I'm assuming that Green Bay Monday night game is when we're going to get Tre'Davious White back, because after week four, he can start practicing. You get the week of practice. You get week two of practice. Week three will be ramp up, which will actually be the bye week, and I think we'll get him back. Obviously, you know, the Micah Hyde, and we're going to get into that next. It's something that you just can't replace. So I think that you kind of have to replace that in a different manner, and I'll talk about that a little later. Jaquan Johnson's a guy who, like I said, I'm a Florida State fan. All right, Die Hard. Seminoles all day. Okay. But Jakon Johnson is a guy that I've watched since college. And even anytime he's gotten his chance to play in the NFL, he always finds his way to the football. It finds him. I was telling James that that's it. For some reason, he reminds me a lot of Jairus Byrd. Maybe not as talented as Jairus Byrd, but somehow the football just finds you, whether it's an interception, whether it's a tip ball, whether it's just a fumble. And he's been doing that since the U. He played extremely well in this game. Outside of that bogus 15-yard penalty call they called on him, where he dislodged the receiver from the football and let with his shoulder, mind, nonetheless. Good play. He played well of a game. But what I will say is this. You have to sign Xavier Rhodes. 110%.
Excuse me. Breaking news. They just signed Xavier Rhodes.
You just signed him now? Okay. There you go. So, as I was saying, we have to sign Xavier Rhodes.
Yeah, it just announced 1 minute ago. They just signed him.
Okay. So, there you go. We've now signed Xavier Rhodes. So, now that adds a veteran to this mix here. And a veteran who, mind you, if you guys know anything about Xavier and James, I'm going back to your point from like a year ago where you strictly said when you come to signing free agents and recruiting, it never happens at the combine thing. You said it happens to workouts. Players working out together in the offseason. Who did Xavier Rhodes work out in the offseason? Stephon Diggs. Every single season. So it makes sense. So now we have Xavier Rhodes here as a veteran. We have Christian Benford going to be out for at least a couple weeks. We're going into the next couple weeks probably looking at Rhodes and Elam. That's not bad, especially with our pass rush. And then if you get Dane Jackson back, okay, fine. That can hold you over until you get your Davius White back. And even when you get Travis back, we don't know if he's going to come back on a lower snap count. I wouldn't expect Tre'Davious White to be full strength and full go probably to about week 13. If I really had to put a number of when he's going to feel 100%, probably week 13. But the biggest problem is obviously we go back to the safety position and trying to replace Micah Hyde. And that's where I say it's just not going to happen. You can't replace someone just to throw the ball, but the biggest thing we have for us here in Buffalo is we have that amazing pass rush that we've garnered now. And with that pass rush, anybody can look good in the secondary just about. I'm just being honest. Anybody can look good. That's what we're paying $120 million to Von Miller for anybody to look good. So you can't replace Micah Hyde. But I do think you need to move Jordan Poyer over to free safety and move Jaquan Johnson to in the box at strong. I think that's the one main thing that you have to do with that safety to try to fix the void, because Micah Hyde was the quarterback of this defense. And you can't put those – you have to give Jordan Poyer those responsibilities. And as we saw in that 3rd-and-22 play, that was a lot of inexperience from Johnson and Hamlin. Poyer or Hyde, Hyde probably reached that ball off the snap, just like he did versus New England in the playoffs, and that ball's probably an interception or knocked away. That's the difference between being good – and Jaquan Johnson is good and being elite at what you do, and that's what Micah Hyde is. So I'm going to come to you first, Sarah. How big is this void left by Micah Hyde? What can we do to possibly fix it?
Yeah, I mean, I stated before, I don't think you can replace Hyde. But like you were saying, our pass rush, which we haven't really had much of a pass rush to begin with. We don't really do that too often, but we still get to the quarterback, which is what we want. But you know, I think that the Von Miller effect has kind of worked. I mean, we were talking about it earlier. Rousseau looks crazy. And I think that that's what we need to do, especially this week. We need, you know, I don't think we're going to rush too much because we don't want, you know, to lose containment on Lamar. But I think that, you know, that's what we're going to have to do is, just kind of keep him in the box and, get to him when we can, and not let any passes get down the field because, you know, like you said, though, the inexperience, hopefully Poyer's back. You know, I know that everyone was a little surprised that he ended up not playing. It was kind of, to me, it was a little surprising because I thought he was. And then Saturday night, it was like, whoa, he's not playing. So hopefully he's back. And, you know, if he's back, then then I'm a lot less concerned, you know, having Poyer and JJ back there and Hamlin when needed. So I think that that's, you know, kind of what we need to do is just make sure that, you know, we keep the containment on Lamar. And like, I don't think Hyde's going to be a replacement at all. I think we're going to feel that all year. And I think Jordan is, you know, probably going to feel that pain too of not having Hyde with him.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, we've been so spoiled. We've been spoiled rotten as Bills fans the last couple of years, just with, especially the injury bug, right? We look at the Ravens had more injuries to key players before week two was over last year than we had in the last 2 to 3 seasons.
Yep.
So, I mean, at some point in this barbaric game of the football, you're going to get hit. And somehow the Bills have just completely avoided danger. And even times when we thought we were in danger zone, we still somehow avoid it. Like, remember when Micah Hyde, we all got the message in training camp. He fell on his hip, had to be carted off. And then it said, oh, okay, day to day. And then Jordan Poyer hold his arm, hyperextended. He's back for week one. So even we thought things were catastrophic, we still escaped. So we've been spoiled, but I think that we're right. We're going to get Al Oliver back. We got Von Miller. Greg Rousseau's playing out of his mind, and we're going to talk about that tonight. Boogie Basham is coming along. And God knows that A.J. Epidesa is playing the best football that I've ever seen him play, along with Tremaine Edmonds. I'm going to throw that in there, all you Tremaine Edmonds haters. I'm going to make sure I throw that in for you. Tremaine Edmonds is playing the best ball of his career to all you Tremaine Edmonds haters. And he also has a sack off a blitz. Because I know a lot of you out here talk about his blitz percentage. Why we talk about that, I have no idea. But he has a sack off a blitz for you. He Tremaine Edmonds haters. But either way, no, that's how you replace Micah Hyde. The pass rush. That's how you do it. You can't replace the player, but the pass rush replaced a lot of things in the secondary. We've seen the Chiefs have a absolutely putrid secondary, and they had timely pass rush in the last couple of years, and that's how you got by. James, any other ideas here, or is that simply it?
I mean, you'll never replace them, to answer that question. not this season, right? I don't think you can. I mean, but then again, you never know. Jaquan Johnson or Hamlin may ball out. Plenty of players have came in for ballers in front of them and then showed their worth, right? We don't know. He might do that. Also helps when your rookie corner, first-round pick, has 66 cover snaps and only allowed 50 yards so far this season. That's elite. And then, obviously, the pass rush. So what I'm asking Jaquan Johnson to do, come in and be yourself.
Yeah.
The minute you think about trying to be like Micah Hyde, I'm taking you out because I need you to be the best version of you, and that's going to take us to the promised land. If you try to fill that man's shoes, you're going to fail. If you give us the best version of you, we good. End of discussion.
And what do you – you know, Sarah, I want to ask you because you're a big U fan. What do you know about Jaquan Johnson? What kind of player is he's been? You know, I want to get your Miami U insight.
Yeah, no, he's always been that guy that's just like he's hungry. So like when he's put to the test, he wants to go out there and do everything that he can to show out. And you know, now he has this is his fourth year now. So he has quite a few years now underneath him. He has, you know, this going on his fourth year. So and he's learned now from Poyer and he's learned now from Hyde. And I think that that's going to, you know, work to his advantage. But he was always a guy, big personality. And, you know, we would always talk, always has a smile on his face, whether it's on the sideline or in interviews or whatever. So I think that, you know, he's just one of those guys that wants the spotlight on him. And I think that, you know, he's going to thrive in this situation. And I look forward to seeing it, and I hope he doesn't prove me wrong.
You know what? And like I said, I think this guy's a starter in this league. I think that we have a diamond in the rough. Like I said, you can't find many people that just find the football, and he just happens to find his nose to the football. But moving on, because I know Sarah has limited time here, and I want to get to it. Make sure we get to the last topic before she takes off. And Greg Rousseau is a guy that I really want to talk about. Groot. Yes, another you guy. This is starting to get a little ridiculous up here in Buffalo.
Can we talk about Dorsey now too?
I forgot about that too. You know, I don't. You know, it's getting a little ridiculous up here in Buffalo. We're talking about too many Miami University of Miami players, but that's all right. You know, as long as it's when I Jeremy ain't gonna complain, but it's still Seminole Nation. We are 4-0 in Florida State. Just let you know that.
Yeah, but, we don't
need to
talk about that.
But no, he has been playing the best ball of his career. It, like, to me, I don't know what you guys see, but I see a different type of hunger from this kid right now. Like, last year, he made splash plays, and it's like, okay, he's getting better. But this year, it's just a look to him. Like, I'm here to destroy stuff. I'm going to wreck your quarterback. I'm going to fight down the line of scrimmage. I'm going to tackle your running back. I'm going to chase everything down. And I'm going to give every play 100%. And like I said, Sarah, you've talked about the Von Miller effect. James, we previously talked about the Von Miller effect. How much is this attributed to the Von Miller effect? And the other part is, did teams get it wrong with not with letting him fall to the Bills in the late 20s? What do you think, Mal?
I mean, Russo is going to be elite. And then once again, sorry, I was looking up some stats here. But we're with Russo, right? When you sign Von Miller, right, you give him $120 million, right? You don't give him $120 million to get 10 to 12 sacks every year. You give him $120 million to make everybody in the room better how to be a professional. And that's one thing that people don't understand. They look at certain things. They may look at somebody's stats and be like, well, he only got – just say Von Miller get 9 sacks this year. There's going to be Bills fans who are going to – complain and cry and say we paid him $120 million for 9 sacks. But you got to look at the development of Russo, AJ, Boogie Basham. You got to look at him making the room just better. I'm going to give him an A, A-minus so far through 3 games. Mm-hmm. And I think he's going to continue to climb the ladder and get better. Sky's the limit for this kid. I think next year is when he's going to be – everybody's going to talk about him as being one of the best in the league. But this year, he's going to continue to get better and better and better. I mean, Russo is playing out of his mind right now.
Sarah, another one of you guys. Go ahead.
I think he started off last year kind of the same way and then kind of fell off a little bit. So I'm looking like more forward to him continuing it, you know, past the bye week and, you know, into the later weeks in the year. But I do think it is, you know, part of the Von Miller effect. I think that he did a lot of, training with him over the summer. I know he went to his little thing that he had in Vegas. And I think that you can see, a difference. And I was reading and watching a video the other day of how even just like his approach is now different. His technique is now different. Certain things that he's learned, you know, coming off the ball quicker, because of Von and some of the things that Von's, you know, taught him. So I'm looking forward to it. I mean, but if this, he's had a sack in each game. I mean, I said it way back in the summer. I said that we were going to have at least 2 people in double digit sacks. And, you know, I stood by that Groot was going to be one of them. And I still think he is. I think very easily is going to get at least 10 sacks. And I'm, you know, excited for it. I mean, I think I read this morning he has 5 tackles for a loss as well. So, I mean, like, that's what we need, you know, and I'm excited for him. He's only 22 years old, guys. Like, this is crazy. I can't wait. Like, that he has the potential of being, you know, everything that we want. And I think it was Von that actually said that this guy can be one of the best defensive ends in the league. So when you get that kind of compliment from Von, like, that's crazy. So I'm looking forward to it.
Well, Sarah, I got to ask you something. Uh-huh. Can you imagine what his price tag going to be 4 years from now?
Well, I mean, that's the, you know, the name of the game. I mean, that's the name of the game.
It's a good problem to have, but.
I mean, Von won't be on the team, though, in 4 years. There's no way he's going to live out his 6-year contract. So we'll have a little money there.
You know, but the thing is, the way guys like that take care of themselves, he might still be playing at a solid level. I'm not saying he's going to be where he is now.
Von's contract is structured so that he's basically going to play 3 to 4 years. So
And then we know he's gonna go to Dallas for his last year or two. Right? We all know this, right? We all know this. He's gonna go to Dallas. He wants to be a Cowboy.
If we win it here, he gonna take less and stay.
He might. Well, either way, we know where we getting that group money from in a couple of years. We know exactly where it's coming from. Where that money allocated is already allocated. It's set to the side for him. We already know that. So, no, I think this kid is playing amazing. And I think, to your point, like last year, at the early season, he started off pretty hot. He did all right. But I think he hit that rookie wall. And we always hear about the rookie wall. But then, as Cody Wells says in the chat, you know, he finally got back in the football groove after that time off in college. And I think people forget he had a whole year off before he even got to the Bills. So it would make sense for his consistency to drop off to say, okay, you know, it's one thing to play 10 games in college or 11 games in college and then come to NFL and now you're in game 15 and 16, your body's wearing down before you go to the playoffs. It's another thing to play 10 games in college and then have an entire year off and right. come back. And not only did he have a year off, he came back at a higher weight as well. Remember, he gained weight working out with Chuck Smith, his training specialist over for Atlanta Falcons. So, and yes, Terry, you're right. 5 tackles for loss this season, 3.5 sack, 1 in each game, and he has 5 QB hits as well.
Oh, see, so, I just traded him a whole half of a sack.
Yeah. So, you know, and 1 pass deflection. And mind you, he's only played about probably around 55% of snap counts this season. So they're keeping them fresh as well.
How many did he have last year?
7.5.
He had 7.5 sacks last year?
7.5. He's going to top that by week 6.
Wait, he really had that many last year? I thought he had like 5 last year.
No, he had 7.5.
I did not know that.
There was one game he had a couple.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, he had 7.5 last year. So, oh, wait, am I right? No. I am incorrect there. He had 4. He had 4 last year. I'm sorry.
I'm like, wait, what am I guessing? No, I thought he had like 2 or 3 in one game.
Let me research.
I thought it was like 5. I knew it wasn't like a lot.
Yeah, 4.5. 4.5. He had 10 QB hits. He was 4 sacks. I'm sorry, not 4.5. 4 sacks he had last year and 1 interception.
Well, he'll surpass that next week.
Yeah. Who we got? The Ravens? You know, I don't think this Raven matchup could come at a better time because – our defensive line is going to have to win this football game. And we have the absolute best defense to try to stop Lamar Jackson and this terror run that he's on right now. We really do. For how the Ravens play, we have the best defense for that. A couple years ago, I would say, hey, I'm not too sure I like this matchup. But if we're going to get Ed Oliver back, and someone said, I'm not going to say the name on Facebook, they saw Ed tonight at an autograph sighting, and he said he is playing, indeed playing Sunday. So the training staff says that one thing, we'll see. What? To have Tim Settle, to have DeQuan Jones, to have Von Miller, Epinesa, Boogie Basham, this is absolutely the best defensive unit, I think, is to stop the Baltimore Ravens, Lamar Jackson, Mark Andrews, and obviously the oncoming Rashad Bateman. Do not sleep on that kid. He's a stud. He is a stud at receiver. But I want to move on to our last topic of the night. Our man Ken Dorsey.
Absolutely. That's why you had me on tonight, right? It's because of all the you guys.
No. I don't like anything about the you. Good or bad, I don't like anything about the you. But we had this video from Ken Dorsey, and obviously if you guys have seen it, he absolutely lost his freaking mind in this game and tried to destroy everything. A couple weeks ago, he tried to say he was not a psychopath. And what? Isaiah McKenzie on him. That's what I get. Isaiah McKenzie in his podcast said they've seen this before. Josh Allen said he loved it, and Stephon Diggs said he loved it. Now I'm going to play this clip from Cal Brandt's basement today. It's about a minute and 24 seconds about Josh Allen. Talking to Cal Brandt about this, because if you remember, Cal Brandt said this morning that Ken Dorsey should have never done this. This is going to be a meme and stick with him throughout his career. So this is what they had to say.
At what point after the game, or even when you got home, did you first see the Ken Dorsey reaction video?
No, we saw it on the bus ride going to the airport. He's the one that showed it to me. And
really,
everybody's going crazy about it. Man, I can't tell you, our guys freaking love seeing that. As a player looking at your offensive coordinator having that much emotion and care for the game, and he prepares so hard that he wants to win. He wants to do everything in his power to win. I know people might be making a big deal out of it, but as players, we freaking love seeing that.
And it says a lot that he came up and showed it to you. Take me through that. How does that even work? He taps you on the shoulder and says, Josh, check this out. He shows it to you on his phone.
Yeah, I'm rocking on the bus. I'm slightly sore. I'm sitting down. He's like, hey, did you see after the game? And I was like, no, I didn't. He like leaned over and showed me his phone. He's like, well, I probably shouldn't have done that. But he is a fiery competitor, man. And when you've got some, again, that's one thing in this game, right? It's something that pushes us, the fear of losing. We do not want to lose. And when you lose, it should make you feel a certain way.
Hey, Josh, I probably shouldn't have done this. All right. So on one hand, I feel like, listen, I get it. A lot of Bills Mafia felt that way, probably because we know that that's a game that we should have won, right? We had opportunities to pull it away. The other hand, I'm like, damn, dude, don't show that type of anger, because there's level of professionalism you got to keep. But after talking to James, James said today on the phone that he didn't mind seeing it. I just felt like it was a situation where we live in a era where everything's so temperamental that I would never want to see anything used against this guy because he's such a good coach. Sarah, what you think about this?
Oh, the second I saw it, I loved it. I was like, oh, I mean, but he does not like to lose. I mean, the guy literally has not lost like much in his whole career. I mean, as a player, I think he jokes about he was 38-2 his whole career at Miami, and he doesn't like to lose. And that's the around campus. That's what we used to call him. Like, he's a psychopath. Like, he is so driven. He wants to be right. He wants to win. And that's just the kind of guy he was. And we, you know, people who didn't even know him would talk about him around campus that way. So I saw it. I loved it. The second I saw it, I said, I love the passion. I love the fact that he was pissed. I love the fact that he, you know, wanted to win that badly, and he thought that we were going to, and, you know, unfortunately it was a stupid moment that, it, you know, was created that we ran out of time. But, I mean, the people that are making it a big deal and making it seem like, you know, oh, he's too aggressive. And so they're football players, you know, he's a coach now, but he was a football player. Like, come on. Of course he's got the aggression and the passion, and he wants to win. I loved it.
Mal, you ever have a coach like that, man?
I want an officer coach like that, because I'm fiery. I'm competitive. I'm a little, you know, okay. So I need somebody to match mine, you know, and that shows that he care. Man, what the average person don't realize, it's not a slight towards anyone, but the time, the preparation that's put into just that 2.5 hours of gameplay, the amount of time you spend away from your family, you know, your pets, whatever you love, right, to prepare for this one game, right? It means that much. And it shouldn't be a situation where something like that, like, okay, let's move on. I would have a problem with that, me personally. I need a coach that got some passion and some fire. That won't work for me. For most guys, it won't. You know, they want to see that. He's 100% getting a job after this year. Every NFL team that's going to need a head coach, they need that. They want to see that fire. They want to see that passion. They want to see that competitiveness. And they want that to rub off on their team. They want their team to hate to lose like that as well. So I already said that. I called it 2 years ago when I said that Ken Dorsey would be our OC. He would last the year and be gone. The man is gone. Period. Ken Dorsey's gone. He won't be here next year.
So just quickly, I was at the U the same years as he was quarterback. So I have loved him, obviously, for the last 20-something years. I'm aging myself right now. But Dorsey is that guy. I don't disagree with Kyle Brandt usually, but when I heard his take on it, I was kind of like, really? Like, I was just really disappointed in his take. And I, you know, a couple people have, you know, joked with Brandt today, and I'm glad that they have, because people get, you know, passionate. I'm glad Brady went out there and, you know, made a comment like, yo, I should have trademarked my, you know, my meltdown, because you're not allowed to do that as well. I mean, that's the passion of the game. But I have to get going, guys. So I just wanted to say goodbye, and thanks for having me on again.
No problem. Every Tuesday, as long as you're not traveling.
Yeah. I'll be in Baltimore this weekend, so.
Okay, enjoy. Stay safe.
All right.
Get some crab legs for us.
Bye, guys.
If you're with her. No, I actually loved it. I never want to see somebody get anything held against them. That's just my fear, right? I don't want as you say, there's going to be multiple teams that say, hey, look at this. We want that guy. But then you say every team. So you say every team. I just don't want it to be that one or two teams out there. I was like, you know, we don't want a guy like this because this is a temperamental culture. You know what I mean? Things are sensitive around here in this world right now. And we have a guy like that. He may say or do something to hurt somebody's feelings. And then we have to fire him because some grown ass man got his feelings hurt. You know what I mean? Like and it's funny to say this because there was a time where people like Tony Dungy, Jim Caldwell, guys who were mild mannered would not get jobs. Leslie Frazier, because they were mild mannered. They felt like he couldn't run a team this way. And the next thing you know, Tony Dungy wins the Super Bowl. And then it says, oh, we need guys who aren't maniacs, who's mild-mannered. And now that we got guys like Frank Wright failing, now we're going back to maniac mayhem.
Yeah.
We need guys like Dan Campbell who are going to come out and say, hey, we're going to bite your ankles off. I'm saying
it's man.
It goes in trends. And it's funny because it seems like Ken Dorsey is going back into a coaching hiring era where the trend may be we need rough, tough aggression. You know, it's funny, man. I don't know. I got to watch it one more time, dude. I mean, this is pretty damn funny. And you mind you, normally you'll see people back up when people are going crazy like that. No one moves. They just takes their hats off and just say, okay, it's all right. It's just kid. It's funny, man.
Fire.
Have you ever had coaches like that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Coach Mack, our head coach in college. Woo! He turned up. He was turned up.
Coach Mack was fired? Fired up.
Absolutely. That's mild compared to the fire that Coach Mack had. So
heard some stories from Coach Mack. Shout out to my cousin there that was coach over there at Sacred Heart too.
If you don't do right, I'll cut you. That's the thing. If you don't do right, I will cut you.
Fire up.
Hey, I'll fire you.
CCSU, man. But no, man, I thought overall, man, I thought that the it was a game that we should have won, and I'm not going to harp to him if we got going to Baltimore. But end of the day, it happens. The Bills are 2-1. I would love to see them be 3-0 going into this game versus Baltimore. I want to actually get to the Pittsburgh game undefeated. I was hoping, but it's the NFL, man. You know, the professionals play this game for a reason. And no, the sky's not falling. And I don't expect the Bills to lose this game to Baltimore, but even if they did, the second half of this season's schedule is very favorable. Very, very favorable. And before we get out of here, I do want to remind you guys that that the Bills are going to that we have the Mafia Homecoming Party coming up at October 7th at Resurgence Brewing Company. It's going to be hosted by Bills Pro Bowl center Eric Wood there. And you do not want to miss a good time. We got tickets on sale. Go back. It's time for you to go to bed, bud. sorry about that. Kids is coming in when you're live on air. But it's going to be hosted by Eric Wood. Matt Perino is going to be our official MC of the party. And, we got promo codes everywhere right now. I mean, I've not announced a couple on air for 10% off. You're not going to miss it. Bills Mafia Babes, that code is for women only, guys. Women only, okay? 10% off Bills Mafia Babes. I'm sorry, it's Mafia Babes. We have a Bills Dad code. Dick DeGrout just released a video for us today. Great video. Thank you. Appreciate Dick DeGrout, a forever ambassador of the Mafia Homecoming Party. We have a Mafia code from the Mafia House that they're doing good things over there. So it's plenty of codes out there. If the Bills would have won, there would have been a code out there. So I want to make sure that Make sure that you guys get to that Mafia Home Cup Party October 7th. So check tickets. The tickets is in the caption here in the link. And before we get ready to get off of here, James, anything else? Any final thoughts, man? You got anything you want to talk about? Any announcements?
What you got? Really no announcements. Our Buffalo Vets guys, we're all doing our thing. This is going into week 6 already of our season. Only one loss in the whole organization so far, so we're excited about that. And most importantly, our kids are doing well on and off the field. So we're going to keep pushing and keep hopefully doing big things. But yeah, just everybody relax. The Bills are fine. This isn't the only game, newsflash, not the only game we're going to lose all year, most likely. You know, we're probably going to lose again and then again after that. So that's just, you know, that don't mean it's no prereq that you have to go undefeated to win the Super Bowl. So
no.
If you relax, we are all right. I think they are in really good shape.
Yeah, I think they're in really good shape too. So we'll see what happens. Final thoughts is, like I said, man, the sky's not falling. They'll be fine. Like I said, the second half of the season is very favorable, and that's it. The second half of the schedule is very favorable, and they'll be fine. Like I said, this defense is playing great ball. So shout out to the defense. They had a well of a game, though. Now, Heat, they had a well of a game.
They did.
They're going to have to carry us some games. And I did want to say that the only way, in my opinion, that you could replace Micah Hyde on this team in capacity is to sign Odell Beckham Jr. That's how you properly replace Micah Hyde. You can't replace him on a defense because you're not going to find a defensive player to replace him. You have to sign Odell Beckham Jr. You put him in that slot. And then you just say, hey, if we have 20 points times, we have lapses, we're just going to outscore you because you're not ever going to be able to stop us. So that's what I would personally do. Love the Xavier Rhodes signing. As James had breaking news for the first time probably ever on this show. We had breaking news. So James broke it. And James didn't even do this breaking news stuff. And he just gets one. I never catch one.
I'm looking at stats. I'm like, oh, got something here. Stumbled across it.
I never catch a breaking news story. And the guy who doesn't even look for breaking news story catches a breaking news. That's just how the world works. Just like hey. That's how the Dolphins beat the Bills. It just sometimes shit just happens. And this happened to be one of those times. But either way, make sure you guys get into tickets for the Mafia Homecoming Party. There's only 50 VIP tickets available. Those tickets also, VIP tickets also go off sale. I think October 5th we're stopping it so we can have the proper headcount for the VIP gifts. And yeah, other than that, on the Baltimore, I don't think it's a must win. I think we should win it. Von Miller said, a loss like that gives you medicine. We'll take your medicine and let's go on a streak here. But on that, as always, thank you guys for joining me. I'm your host, JTM. My guy, NFL pedigree there, James Mallory. Say bye, James.
Peace out. On to Baltimore. Let's get it.
On the Baltimore. And I want to thank my other guest, Sarah Larson, from Buffalo Stampede, for coming in tonight. So other than that, catch you guys next week. It is what it is. Peace.